Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 233 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this weekend to preview the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix. What might be the last Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, but on the week where Formula One successfully turned 75 years old, a little man on the other side of the room turned 25 himself. He is pretty much exactly one third the age of
I've never
Formula
thought of it
One.
Like that.
But does he have one third of the knowledge? Has he never considered it?
I actually haven't considered that. That's quite cool. Yeah, wow. So the first F1 race was like, I was going to say a few days after I was born, but I'm not 75. So that doesn't, it's a few days after my birthday. There you go. Yes, yeah. My brain has finished cooking. And I'm now 25 years old.
Do you believe in that, do you?
Well, it's science,
all
isn't
that
it?
Kind of, you're allowed to make stupid decisions until you're 25.
Well, maybe not allowed, but your frontal lobe as a man doesn't finish fully developing until approximately 25 years. So there we go. I'm going to be way more
Hello, boring. Everyone, and welcome back to Knowing Biology with Jamie183. Next week, he's going to have Danica on the show and talk about the lizard people.
Is that not... I thought I was under the impression that was fact. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
What, the lizard people? Or the front... Oh, no, I'm pretty certain the frontal lobe is actually legit. This might be the quickest we've ever derailed the show.
Yes.
I was actually going to ask you, did you have a good birthday?
I did, yeah. Just went out for some South African food and in Manchester.
As you
that
would.
That was good. Yeah. That was about it, really.
Was it good? What is South African food?
Oh, it was lovely. I had some ribs called lekker ribs, which I can't say properly because I'm not South African or anything like South African. But there we go. They were, yeah, all my friends came. Well, nearly all my friends, apart from Matt, he didn't come.
I was going to say, I wasn't invited. This is a rude awakening.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd want to come up for 3.5 hours for an evening meal.
Jamie, for your birthday, I would
well,
have.
Well, maybe next
I
year.
I absolutely would have. Well, maybe next year for your birthday, we can have Jack Doohan at the party because he's not got a Formula One drive anymore. I'm trying to segue desperately back to what we need to talk about.
There we go. Yes, Doohan, which we recorded the last show straight after the Miami Grand Prix. And
yep.
We heard the first whispers that he was gone. Obviously, Miami was not a great...
Yep.
race because it ended at the first corner for him, and
admittedly not his fault.
It wasn't, but it wasn't Lawson's fault either. It was just a racing incident. So
yeah,
one of those. And you know, it's a shame for Doohan because he's actually done better than a lot of people thought, I think. And in terms
yep.
of, there's been flashes that he could be an all right midfield driver in Formula One because he's matched Gasly close enough. He out-qualified Gasly in Miami. But then
yep.
there's just obviously rookie mistakes coming. And they're fine to make rookie mistakes when you're a rookie, unless you've got a reserve driver with Formula experience who everyone kind of loves. So, yeah.
Does everybody love him or do just the Argentinians love him?
The Argentinians love him. It feels like Fabio Briatore loves him. They spent a lot of money to bring him in as reserve driver. So the pressure was always there. You know, if you look at, if you look at Isaac Hadjar, for instance, their reserve is Lindblad, I want to say,
Yes.
And like Lindblad is quite clearly not quite ready for F1 yet. Obviously, probably will be by this time next year. So the pressure is a bit lower when you know that there's not someone breathing down your neck so badly.
Well, apparently the pressure over at VCOB at the moment is actually on Lawson, that they could bring in Lindblad to replace him if he gets... I think he might already have the super license points, or at least he's very close to...
Well, he did
to.
Well in F3. He came, what, third or fourth in F3 last year, didn't he? So...
Yeah. But he's had F1 free practice, hasn't he, I think, now, which obviously gives him a couple of points.
Yes.
And a couple of other bits and pieces. And I think... The only real example we've got in recent years still, wasn't it, was Colton Herta not getting a license. I can't help but feel that the FIA would be far more lenient on one of their own, in air quotes, aka a driver in the FIA Registered Junior Series.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, for doing, obviously, going back to the main point, of course, I mean, we spoke about it since last December, didn't we? The writing was on the wall before it even began. Honestly, I think based on all the pressure he had, he probably is... I mean, the thing is, he's had a couple of high-profile incidents, hasn't he? And, like I said, the pace has been there, but he's made rookie errors.
Yes.
But he's a rookie, so you're kind of there going, he's going to make rookie errors. That's how you learn. And I think people are kind of forgetting that Colapinto, had a couple of brilliant races, and then basically spent the last three trashing the Williams around the place.
Yeah.
He just became a quicker Logan Sargeant.
I guess so, yeah. But then... Yeah, I think doing the only problem for him was he never strung a full race weekend together, because I would say his best race weekend was probably Bahrain, when the Alpine was at its quickest. I think Gasly finished 7th.
Yes, well, they were probably the 5th fastest car
probably
that
had
weekend.
A Red Bull, to be honest,
4th or 5th fastest.
And doing was on decent pace. He was running in the midfield most of the time, and then just towards the end of the race, just couldn't look after those tires and ended up falling like a stone out the points. So.
Yeah,
that was as close as he came to scoring points. And to be honest, obviously the lap one crashed in Melbourne, but that's forgivable because it was such difficult conditions. I mean, had John crashed on a formation lap, didn't he? So,
Carlos Sainz pinned it.
And under safety car. And the Japan DRS thing did not go down well with the team, supposedly, because when he left his DRS open...
No, that was just too high profile.
Asked the team, why didn't a DRS close into turn one, and they said, well, you need to close it, which is kind of common sense,
isn't
it?
You didn't break. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we know that on the F1 games, never mind IRL.
Press Y, bro.
It's one of those weird ones, though, isn't it? Of, like, I know we spoke about it at the time, but we never really quite understood why they brought him in the first place, because he's never really had a stellar junior career either.
He's been all right, hasn't he? A bit of a joke on you.
He's in kind of decent, but you're kind of there going, he could have very easily ended up in IndyCar prior to now without getting an F1 gig.
Formula E, the like. But then
Formula
E,
exactly.
You take the gamble,
don't you? Australian supercars.
You look at, you know, even the likes of Lando Norris and Alex Albon never won a junior category. Obviously, Norris was kind of always ahead of his age.
But they
ranking.
Were always going up against, they were always going with George, weren't they? Or Albon, I think.
Albon was a bit older. He just never won. No, he lost to Nick De Vries in 2020.
I know he didn't win Formula 2.
Sorry, 2019, wasn't it? No, he was in 2018. Yeah. Lost to Nick De Vries in F2, I want to say.
No, 2018 was George.
Oh, yes, it was. But he finished third that year and was on his way to Formula E until Red Bull called him up, wasn't he? So.
Yeah, he came second in GP3.
And, you know.
And then
some
third
drivers,
in GP2, didn't he?
Some drivers turn out like your joke on you of the world, where they're all right, but they're never going to stay for long. And some of them end up like Alex Albon, where he has a real lease of life in F1. And sadly for doing it, went the first way. So I can't say I'm surprised. I can't say I'm that disappointed. I'm not. I don't dislike him, but I'm not a massive fan of his either. And this is how the sport works when you've got Colapinto needing a seat, and Alpine clearly lined him up for it since December.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah. I mean, why on earth you'd leave a Williams reserve role to go to an Alpine reserve role without, and why they pay all that money without wanting to try and put him in the car, you'd never know.
Yeah.
It did originally, though, Jamie, lead to a bit of spin-off drama, didn't it? Because, of course, before it was formally announced that Doohan was gone, it was announced that Ollie Oakes had left Alpine as well, which people immediately tried to tie in that he somehow had control over Doohan coming in, despite the fact that Briatore was Doohan's manager. So it was always in Briatore's best interest for Doohan to do well. But this is a whole different and wild story, which, again, I'm staggered more people knew nothing about going into it, because I remember this being known for years.
Isn't it? It's so through his brother, isn't it?
So it's a brief timeline of events. You go back to about, I think, 2016, I want to say. The Mazepins buy a majority share in High Tech Grand Prix, which, for those of you that don't know, runs Formula 2, Formula 3, and even, I think, British F4 and a few other junior series around the globe. Obviously, Nikita goes through most of his junior Formula career with them, similar to how Lawrence Stroll bought out, obviously, a huge share in Prema, which he still owns some of, I believe, even to this day. Nikita gets to Formula 1. Russian sanctions, invasion on Ukraine, of course. And apparently, basically, from what there then happened, was the company that owned High Tech Grand Prix was disbanded, and all of the Mazepin shares of that High Tech ownership kind of umbrella company was apparently bought out by Oliver Oakes and his brother, except for there was no transfer of funds. It went to a Cypriotic business account, which then apparently owns all of High Tech Grand Prix. And then Ollie Oakes' brother, a couple of weeks ago now, was arrested coming back into the UK for having apparently a lot of illegal money. So I think if you can connect the dots together, it very much looks like High Tech GP was being used as a front to money launder for the Mazepins, allegedly. But
By the sounds of it, the Oakes brothers were privy to, because...
Oh, they've been part of this. I mean, remember when Oakes came straight into Alpine and he was instantly talking about potentially getting Mazepin back on the grid?
Yeah.
Like, this is what staggered me about it so much.
Nobody put two and two
together.
People
didn't realise he still had ties to them.
Yeah. And, yeah, that was quite a funny clip I saw from one of the promotional things before the season, where they did with the team principals. And they asked...
Survive
until Spa was Ollie Oakes' aims for the season. Which
is
more ironic now looking back, because obviously he's joking at how high the turnover is at Alpine, but equally he must have known that the police were onto him, basically, or whoever's the courts were onto him, rather, because I'm sure the police did nothing.
They were the ones that arrested his brother trying to get... Well, he was actually arrested at Silverstone, I believe,
wow,
which obviously is where High Tech GP is based. But of course, Formula 1 or junior Formula teams are... generally considered fantastic ways of laundering money back into countries, because obviously there's a lot of places where you can stuff money into a racing car, rather unsurprisingly. And of course, obviously, time a racing car's... Well, exactly. They're not going to go through everything every single time a car comes in and back out, are they? You know, you could put on a fake front wing and stuff that with money and all that kind of thing. I know it was one of the old British touring car teams was doing it back in the late 90s.
The
they were smuggling drugs.
That was probably smuggled a little.
Exactly. Well, not quite the same. but I know it was one of the BTCC teams back in the late 90s was smuggling weed from Amsterdam back into the UK. Like, obviously, the BTCC back then was wild, but they were doing all their testing at Zandvoort. And obviously, people were going, that's a little bit strange.
Yeah. I wonder why they've gone to Zandvoort again. Yeah, it's a bit wild. And the story was Ollie Oakes left Miami and basically fled straight to Dubai, and he's now just chilling there.
He went straight to Dubai, yeah, because, of course, Dubai has no extradition laws with basically anybody.
Yeah, so
of course, he can't get sent back to the UK.
Yeah, and obviously, British police or British whoever aren't going to do anything when you're in a different country. So he has run off and resigned. And people thought it was to do with Jack Doohan, but it turns out it's a little bit wild. And it's probably not the end of this story, but we will see.
Well, of course, for High Tech this weekend, they've rocked up to Imola. There's no branding on the trucks or anything like that. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see what name they're run under, if they actually get the cars running. Because, of course, they got Formula 2, Formula 3, triple headers coming up.
Yeah.
So, of course, if they can't deliver cars for their drivers in those junior series, they're going to get sued.
Yeah. It'll be like the Singapore 2009 Renault, where they just turned up. All their sponsors are gone. It just says Renault on the side.
Your name here.
Yeah,
the HRT
was
like
funny.
Back in the early 2010s.
What a time to be alive.
I mean, it is just crazy, isn't it? Like I said, I know a lot of people going, oh, I really liked Ollie Oakes. I was there going, no, he's been known to be an ass for years.
You know what, though? If you never looked beyond the surface, he came across quite well in his interviews, and he seemed like he's quite a funny bloke. But that's as far as it went.
No, I remember a couple of guys in our group chat were talking about him months ago, and I was like, no, I dislike him. I mean, it was always helped by the fact I knew about all this anyway, but yeah. You're always there going, he seems like a bit of a dodgy guy.
Maybe slightly. I mean, you were proven right, let's be real.
Exactly. So clearly a good judge of character. I'm going to use my good judgment as well, Jamie, to predict this is going to be the last Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix, or last race at Imola for the foreseeable.
I really hope you're right, to be perfectly honest.
It's a shame, but yeah. You went. It's a Grand Prix we've both been to.
Yes, I was there last year, yeah. It was just an all right race. It gives something different, because it generally allows for quite a high intensity race, because a bit like Suzuka these days, it's very hard to pass. So if you end up in a situation where a faster car is behind a slower car, as we had in Suzuka, you're always wondering, you know, the car ahead has got to be really careful not to make mistakes. That's what we saw last year with Norris behind Verstappen, although at the time we didn't know that the Red Bull was so awful. And then you had that, obviously, in Suzuka this year, where you've got a Red Bull leading. The problem is, once you've seen enough of those races to know that Max Verstappen doesn't really make mistakes.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Then it takes away that intensity, because you're like, all he needs to do is get out of Rovazza okay, and he's fine. So the only chance that someone's got to overtake is if you get the likes of Valtteri Bottas in 2020, where he just drove into the gravel at the last corner. And even then, Max still made hard work of getting past him into turn one. So,
yeah, it's a really, really weird one with Imola, wasn't it? Because I remember when it came back in 2020, and obviously it felt, you know, we were in like some bygone era of Formula One. But Imola was one of those bizarre tracks that really worked not having anybody there, because it felt like a weird step back in time.
Yeah.
Which was strange. Well, I mean, like you said, though, the 2020 Grand Prix was good.
It was all right. It wasn't,
if I remember correctly. There was a lot of battles going on further back. Which was
it was
good.
Saved by a safety car.
2021
was a bit
was
dead before that.
Well, yeah. 2021 was a bit chaotic.
Wet weather.
2022 was boring
wet
as
weather.
All so. Hell. Wet weather.
2023 was very wet weather.
2023 didn't happen. Yeah. And then obviously last year as well. I mean, like we said, it was 2024, if anything, was kind of like a Schumacher-Alonso throwback battle, wasn't it?
Apart from Lando Norris isn't which the is same calibre as Schumacher-Alonso or Verstappen. So.
Exactly. But it was... I think, like we said before, I think the problem isn't with Imola, it is with the cars.
But it's kind of both.
I think if the cars were 20% smaller, then you'd have much better racing. But of course, as always, the only chance you've got to battle here is down the front straight, because there's no wheel-to-wheel rules. So you're always just going to squeeze the other car out, which is into a gravel trap.
So that makes it quite interesting, because cars will, like drivers will get penalised. You'd think a bit like Austria turn 3, isn't it, where because there's gravel on the outside instead of a massive runoff area, you will get penalized for bumping drivers off. So yeah, that
why that makes a difference, I
it shouldn't
know, but, there
but
we
it
are.
Makes it more fair in my mind, because drivers potentially will leave each other space, even though at that first chicane you really can't leave much space because it's so narrow that really there's only just enough space for one car to get through there.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those... What you need at Imola is a dry-to-wet race, which I don't know what the chance of weather is this weekend.
I'm very glad it wasn't wet this time last
year. I think it's probably just dry.
It's a lovely weekend just sitting in the sun.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain I got some kind of... It's 23 degrees and sunny all weekend.
Oh, it rains on Monday, classic.
It does rain. It rains all of next week, but not this weekend, so there you go. There's a wind warning, apparently.
Wow. It doesn't look that windy on Sunday. So, never mind. Yes, it's one of those tracks where, like, having it back for 2020 was cool. Maybe you give it one more year after that, But the fact it's lasted this long is a bit crazy. Because
what we should be doing with Imola, and I mean this genuinely, is subbing it for Istanbul, another track that returned in 2020.
Yeah, the only problem with
Istanbul
is...
Give us another Turkish Grand Prix.
If you took Istanbul and put it in a country where people want to watch F1, that would be great. Or could, yeah.
I would pay good money for it to be moved to Spain, as an example.
Yeah, and there's nothing against Turkey as a country, but they've tried to launch F1 there, well, twice now, and never really had the gate receipts you need to keep a track there, which is a real shame, because it's one of Tilke's best works, and it's in a place that will never sustainably hold a race. If you took that and put it somewhere in the Middle East...
What happened?
I don't know.
Yeah. What happened to Herman Tilke after about 2007? Because pretty much every track he did before that was a banger, and every track after has been awful. Then every track after has been street circuits.
He's kind of been hamstrung by doing it around a car park of an Miami stadium.
Something about designing Abu Dhabi and probably getting paid far too much money to build that circuit has broken the map.
I feel like it became more about showpieces than the track itself.
Oh, absolutely.
So you look at Abu Dhabi and it's like, oh, how can we get it really cool to go under a hotel?
Yeah.
Or have to go around the marina and stuff like that. Whereas you look at Malaysia, Shanghai, Istanbul, they're all just good tracks because the flow of them and the style of corners and the variety of corners is all really good. And then you move on.
And there's overtaking opportunities.
Yes. And Abu Dhabi phase one was awful. I quite like the new Abu Dhabi, to be honest.
The new layout is much better, but still not perfect.
Yeah, but it's just smoother and better flow, isn't it? And then your career was really good, but again, they put it in a country where no one cares.
Sepang?
Said that.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, and then the modern ones, your Sochi's, Miami, they're just not... No, they're not good.
No, exactly. Anyway, going back to Imola though, Jamie, before we started the show, Jamie, I'm pretty certain, chat, wanted to march over to Italy and give every person working at Pirelli a hug. they might have made a good decision for this weekend.
I think 2016 was the last time Pirelli made a good decision when they brought in the 3-tyre compound rule, only to then kill it by bringing two hard.
I don't think they make that decision,
no,
but yes.
But, you know, Imola have actually done some good... No, sorry, Pirelli, who are based in Italy, must be near Imola, probably. It's Mugello, isn't it? I can't remember where it...
Let's find out. I'll Google it, you keep talking.
Pirelli have actually bought some softer tyres. I remember on this show, not that long ago, like at the start of this season, I think it was after the second race.
Pirelli is based in Milan.
Yeah, close enough. That's where you fly to.
They're 153 years old.
Yeah, they're old. what was I saying? Oh, yes. Pirelli have bought some soft tyres. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The new C6, which has never been used since the new C1, 2, 3, 4, 5 compounds came in. They're bringing the C6 to Imola and Monaco and Canada in the next four races. So we're about to get some two-stop strategies. Please.
We're not. It's still all going to be one stop.
Given the C6 will be totally unusable. I'm predicting that now.
Yeah, so it would just be C5, C4.
It'll be C5 and 4, which basically means it depends on how long the C4 can go. And I'm pretty sure the C4 was the hardest compound. Sorry, the softest compound in Miami. So you had the 2, 3, 4 in Miami. And obviously in Miami, no one used the soft tyres because they were so bad. So Imola, which is obviously a much less temperature race in terms of where they are in the world, and probably less abrasive on the tyres slightly because you've not got that Mickey Mouse section. I think it's a good call. And just
we're really trying to
at least two stops, please. I just if someone does a one-stop strategy and it's an early safety car, it destroys any uncertainty in a race. I get so annoyed when there's a safety car around lap 15 in any Grand Prix because it just means everyone is on the same strategy. There's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing to get your hopes up. And yes, most of the time our hope is disappointed. But at least you have something to keep watching a race for. When everyone's on the same strategy and the same tyre age, you might as well switch off, to be honest.
Yeah. It's fair enough. Jamie, there, as always, encouraging new fans into the world of Formula One.
No, I'm saying it's good. You should watch Imola because there's going to be two or three or four stops. Maybe not four.
There's going to be four punches and three safety cars. Yes. And they're only going to have to do 10 laps under grid.
Run it back to Silverstone 2013.
Dear me.
Yes, I'm excited for this.
Should we do quiz or predictions? Okay.
Because this is not going to be a time limit one, so you got to think about things.
So I should explain as well to all the viewers. Jamie has work at 9 a.m. It's currently 8:48. We got on at 8:10. We didn't start recording till 8:25 because he kept trying to ask ChatGPT to come up with a quiz.
Only once.
And when it finally understood what it meant, it just gave him like the most generic one we could ever think of.
Oh, name all the Imola winners in the last since it started. It's like, I've done that one before.
I could have done that in a second. Without using 30 times the electricity.
Yeah, my brain doesn't use any electricity, actually. So, but this week, it was the 75th anniversary of Formula One.
It was.
Been going since 1950. May the 14th, I believe. 1950
it was
the first race.
May the 14th.
We're going to theme it around 75 years of F1, but it's not going to be about the 1950 season, so don't worry about that. There have, well, including this year, which obviously isn't finished yet, we're just going to take it back in multiples of five. So you've got to name me the world champion in any year going backwards that ends with a multiple of five, starting with 2020.
So five or zero, and I got no time.
There's no time limit.
Right, I'm going to try and do this sensibly.
But if you get it
I'm
wrong,
going to try and go backwards for you.
You have to go backwards.
You're out. Yeah, yeah. Well, can't I just do any if I wanted to?
2020.
No, okay. Lewis Hamilton.
Yes. 2015.
Lewis Hamilton.
Correct. 2010.
2010 was Vettel.
Correct.
2005 was Alonso.
Correct.
2000 was Schumacher.
Correct.
95 was Schumacher.
Correct.
90 was Senna.
Correct.
I'm already getting slightly nervous about 85. I think it was Prost.
Correct. You're doing well.
Now
you
I'm
must
really
be halfway
scared
through.
For 80. Yeah. I've got Alan Jones in my head, but I could be wrong.
Is that your answer?
If it's correct, it is.
Well, it is correct. Well done. 75.
75 was Lauda.
Yes.
70, I know, wasn't Stewart, because he won, like, 69 and 71, but not 70.
You're on the right lines.
And I feel like it was because Jackie won one, lost one, won one, lost one, won one. And I feel like he swapped around with Fittipaldi a couple of times where they would win one and then the other would win one. But I can't remember if it was then or was 70 the year where it was posthumous for one of the Jochens, and I always get the wrong Jochen. Yeah, like Franz Hermann. Forgot to mention him this episode.
Oh yeah, it's gonna true. Annoy me we'll talk about so him after.
Was 70 for
you said the driver who won 1970 in that little phase of play.
So annoying. Wait, have I said their full name?
I think I would be giving it away.
I'm just gonna say Fittipaldi because I think he won 70 and 72.
Incorrect.
So oh, it was Jochen, Mass, Jochen was it? Rindt.
Mass never won a title.
Oh, Rindt even,
Mass
yeah.
Never won a world
I always get the Jochens wrong.
Jochen.
Can I keep trying to see how far back I can
you
go?
You can, yeah. Just... And you were unlucky because you're right. Stewart 71, Fittipaldi 72, Stewart 73, Fittipaldi 74. So
Fittipaldi 74, yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Was 65 Phil Hill?
No.
Or was that Graham Hill, 65?
Jim Clark, 65.
Oh, it was Clark by 65. 60 was... God, I don't even know. I should just look behind me. I've got the...
Oh, wow. Yeah, you should have done that.
Yeah. 60 was... I picture his face. Not Surtees. Hawthorne?
No, Jack Brabham.
No, okay. That was Brabham. Okay, fair enough. I've embarrassed myself. 55 was Fangio, I'm pretty certain. And then 50 was Farina.
Correct.
Not Farina, Ascari. Yeah, yeah. It was Farina.
There you go. Was that
Sebastian Vettel? We should have had him on.
Yeah, if I got Vettel on, we'd have done it without skipping every 4 years. So,
exactly.
There you go. Unlucky. Did well. Did good performance.
When did I get back to 70?
You got 70
or 75
wrong,
technically,
so you just
75, I suppose.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's most
fair
of the
enough.
Time.
I'll take that. That's 50 years. That's 2/3.
Yes.
I'll
Although
take
you only
that.
Gave 10 answers.
I will take that. There's not... Hang on a minute. No, reliably, I can get back to the early 80s anyway.
Same.
Actually, probably now I can get back to the 70s, I reckon.
Been rising but recently, still. Have you?
Yeah. Franz Hermann.
Franz Hermann, hilariously.
And you... yep.
Max Verstappen turns up to Imola. To Nürburgring, sorry, not Imola.
Yep.
And wears his full-on race helmet and race
suit. Wears his full-on helmet in his Max Verstappen-branded racing car, but still sets a lap record for an open practice session and still
goes
tries
by Franz
to ref
Hermann.
A suit in.
Which is, it's just funny. I guess, does that sort of thing get published prior so people can see who's racing at Nürburgring?
Yeah, you have to for any kind
so,
of
yeah,
racing series. And especially German.
Yeah, so if people saw Max Verstappen on the driver list, they'd have been like, oh, let's go, and he probably couldn't be bothered with that. So,
do you want to know my favourite bit about this? Because obviously he clearly wants to do it because he's considering running in the VLN series, which, for those of you that don't know, includes the Nürburgring 24 each year. But he's normally 4 or 6 hour races in multi-class. He can't do it this year, Jamie.
How come?
Because to race in VLN, you have to get a Nürburgring, what is a track-specific license.
Right.
And they only do certain test sessions a year, and all of them fall around F1 weekends.
Well, there you go.
Which I can't see Red Bull allowing him to do.
No.
And because it's German again, they will not give an exception to a four-time Formula One world champion. You have not passed the test to race at the Nürburgring, therefore you will not race at the Nürburgring. They will not. They genuinely will not allow him a pass on this license. You have to prove to them that you can drive the Nordschleife without problems.
That is hilarious.
With slower and faster traffic, which is incredible. So we can still predict that Max will be racing at Imola this weekend, because what are the scores on the doors, Jamie? I took a load of points out of
you. You
did.
You got bang
last
on
time,
podium
I?
Last time. So I'm currently ahead by 3 points, 20-17.
Okay. Lando Norris pole, Lando Norris win, Oscar Piastri P2, and I'm going to say... What am I going to say for third? I'm trying to think. Kimi Antonelli. No.
Yeah, it's locked in.
Actually, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be stupid. I'm going to say Antonelli.
I will say Max Verstappen pole.
Oh!
I will say Max Verstappen win with...
Really?
With Oscar Piastri, P2.
Oh, so we're
actually,
saying
no,
the same P2.
Norris P2, Piastri P3. We're going for a Suzuka again. Okay. It's a bit like Suzuka, but in Europe.
Fair enough. It's the European Suzuka Japanese Grand Prix, is it? Fair enough. Let us know your predictions down in the comments below. Jamie, have we got anything to add? I think we've smashed everything we needed to.
Well, apart from Alpine, don't have a team principal this weekend, so that's fun.
Oh, yeah. But that's just Alpine.
Basically, Fabio is just not employed, so they can't have him registered as team principal.
Yeah, legally he isn't, but he is. And he always has been. And he always will be. We all know it to be true. Apparently, I was reading something a couple of days ago, apparently he's got a child with, like, Heidi Klum or something that he just refuses to claim as his own.
Wow. Wouldn't surprise me.
Which I was very shocked to learn about. Because Flavio, I tell you what, I don't like the guy, but I would read his book.
Oh, yeah.
Because I imagine, like, if he did, like, an Everything Told book,
oh,
that
yeah.
would be an incredible
yeah.
read.
Yeah, I saw him in a
so
restaurant
Hamilton
in Monaco.
To be fair. You did.
Over
you
Christmas.
Did. Jamie
he
was
probably plotting sacking Ollie Oakes.
You've never sounded more upper class than I saw him in a restaurant in Monaco at Christmas.
Not my fault.
There you go. Jamie183, ladies and gentlemen. Jamie183. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Get yourselves subscribed. Jamie will be back. We've got a triple header, so there's going to be a lot of podcasts coming up over the next few weeks. Although I'm going to be busy trying to move house as well. So we'll see what happens.